You're listening to JerryPark.com, the Coliseum of combat sports.
Will he stay or will he go? That's the question on every UFC fan's mind when it comes to the future of Tito Ortiz in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And on May 24th, he fulfills the final fight on his current UFC contract when he faces Lyoto Machida at UFC 84. But before he goes into the octagon, he's doing what all the biggest names in MMA have done as of late, and that's stop by Jerry Park for a little chat. What's going on, Tito?
Not a lot. Just actually got done training, have a little break, have a meal, and get back to training about 6 o'clock.
Are you in Big Bear right now?
Yes, I am.
You're in Big Bear. All right, so that's your home away from home, so to speak. And I actually lied. You know, I know a lot of people out there are wondering, you know, what's going to happen to you in your career and your future after May 24th. But what I want to know most is, when is Zombie Strippers coming out?
I believe it is coming out next month. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's coming out next month.
I looked on the website, looked on the trailer, but there was no release date for that. And a lot of people have been talking about it, so...
Yeah, it's just one of those horror films that probably going to have a big following for sure.
Yeah, people dig that, and any time that you associate your name to anything, I'm sure a lot of your fans will follow. But talking about your fighting career, and you're always in the news, especially as of late. Just recently, you did there was a video of you from HollyScoop.com where you actually said the words, "I'm done with the UFC." Was that just, you know, something that you were saying in the heat of the moment, or mentally, do you believe that May 24th will in fact be your last fight?
I think May 24th will be my last fight with the UFC. I plan on continuing my career, though. You know, I plan on fighting for 3 more years. You know, that's what is in my mind and set in stone in my mind of still competing, you know. I'm just sick of being taken advantage of. I'm sick of being treated the way I've been treated with the UFC. Over the last two years, I've really been kind of forgotten about in the UFC. You know, people are saying, does Tito Ortiz still fight? Well, it just shows how much the UFC used me. You know, and I'm just sick of a lot of things that they do on the side to try to keep me down. And, you know, if I fight again with the UFC, it'll be under my own terms, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm showing up front that, you know, I've been really giving my life to them for the last 11 years. You know, a third of my life I've gave to the UFC, and I get no respect from them at all, zero. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I want to make the best of my next 3 years financially and for my fans.
Well, you say if you fight again for the UFC, so are you still kind of holding out hope that something will be resolved and you will continue your career in the UFC?
You know, what it really comes down to is just Dana White, man. If he learns to shut his mouth and learns to respect me, I mean, there's a possibility, yes. I mean, he goes out on public, giving a public apology from the things that he's done. It's just, that's what it really comes down to. But, you know, I want to go with a company that's going to respect me and see me as the champion I am and as the ambassador that I am of the sport and not really downplay me or disrespect me on television or anything else.
What do you think has been the biggest form of disrespect that Dana White or anyone in the UFC has given you? Has it been, you know, calling you the names in the press conferences and all that, or has there something that happened behind the scenes that really ticked you off and was kind of, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back?
You know, I think it really comes down to all the press conference. You know, Dana saying I'm a stupid gorilla and, you know, I'm a complete moron. And, you know, my son is starting to get to the age where a lot of his friends are, you know, maybe saying something to him in school. And, you know, that hurts me, man. That's very, very personal to me. And I don't think I'm too damn stupid if I made a $500 out of my own pocket company into a multi-million-dollar company. I think I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I got an AA degree in college for physical education. I think I was a pretty intelligent man. I went to Division I college. You know, I got a semester away from finishing my college degree. The only reason I stopped was because of fighting, and I wanted to fight, and I wanted to be a world champion. I think I have a little intelligence behind me. So for Dana to say that I'm a stupid moron or a dumb gorilla, or, you know, it just shows what type of person he really is and how intelligent he is. And, you know, I take it very personal. And, you know, the cracks they've put against me in the last 2 years have been very personal. As far as the bad blood that was on Spike Television, it was a one-sided story. I never got a chance to say anything about it to defend myself. And, You know, I had to go on my blogs on MySpace and on KetoOrtiz.com and Punishment.com to say my side of the story. And, you know, it didn't get as many viewers to read it as they did on Spike TV. So, you know, they hindered my image 100%, I think. I mean, we went from having over 1 million pay-per-view buys with the Chuck Liddell fight to 4 weeks later, or excuse me, 4 months later, or 5 months later when I fought Rashad Evans, that, you know, it was under 400,000 pay-per-view buys. So it just shows that, yeah, it did hinder my image when they say stupid stuff about me. And it's all Dana's work. So, you know, they're trying to hold me down, which I'm over it.
Well, you know, in the months leading up to that Spike TV special, and even afterwards, with everything that he said about you, a lot of fans, and, you know, even at times myself, I've thought, well, maybe Dana's just working the crowd, and maybe you guys had this sort of deal behind the scenes to create this feud, a la, you know, what Vince McMahon has done, excuse me. And then you realize that it seems very real. Is any of this fabricated, the hatred between you guys, or is it, you know, to steal a line from the UFC, as real as it gets?
No, not at all. It was completely, you know, Dana saying what he needed to say about me to keep me down. You know, I've always been a fighter that's been outspoken. I've always been a fighter that said what's on my mind, and I'll continue to do that. I just really think I should have a company that's going to support me, since I gave my whole, at least a third of my life to them. You know, 11 years is a long time. And I've been there, you know. I've never fought for any other company. I've been very loyal to them. So it just shows by the interviews that Dana does to me of how disrespectful he really is.
When's the last time you've actually spoken to Dana?
I think the last time I spoke to Dana was on July 8th, the last time I fought.
Of 2007, before the Rashad Evans fight. So now you mentioned that you want to, or you've been doing all your negotiations with Lorenzo Fertitta. Do you expect them to make one last ditch effort, or to try to, you know, smooth things over with you leading up to the Machida bout, or will everything kind of be dealt with afterwards?
Well, with me, it's all dealt with afterwards. You know, I respect Lorenzo a whole bunch. I think he's a great person. You know, he's helped me out a lot from the very beginning when I first bought the company, and I think really when I got a contract, you know, what they thought I was worth, it wasn't anything close to what I thought I was worth. And once again, it was just them trying to undercut me. And, you know, at that time when I got that, I came to realize that, you know, they say I'm not better than what I used to be, that I'm worth less than I used to be. And to me, it's like, all right, well, if you guys think that, I'm going to see if any other company thinks that. And I have to wait until my contract's over before I can negotiate with anybody else. And when those negotiations come about, we'll see how much Tito Ortiz is worth.
And what about Lyoto Machida, your final fight for now in the UFC? Obviously, this is a guy very hot, undefeated right now in the light heavyweight division, coming off a big victory over Sokaju. Do you feel as though this was, you know, two fights ago you're fighting for the title, then you fight Rashad Evans, now Machida. Did you feel as though this was a, for lack of a better term, worthy enough opponent for you in the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
You know, I was looking for a bigger fight. No, I thought that the rematch with Rashad Evans was supposed to happen, which it never did. But Machida's undefeated. He's ranked fifth in the world, and, you know, I guess he is one of the best fighters in the world. So when I beat him, then it just shows that I haven't really gone anywhere. You know, when I fought Rashad Evans, I fought Rashad Evans at 70%. I wasn't even 100%. You know, I had a back injury, and I fought not being 100%. And it went to a draw. The only reason that he won was because John McCarthy said I grabbed the fence. And I just come to look at it now that, you know, when I do beat Machida, I'll just show that I'm still at the top of the world. You know, in the last 10 years, I've only lost to two people. One of the greatest heavyweight champions of the world, Randy Couture, and one of the greatest knockout artists at light heavyweight, Chuck Liddell. And those are the only people I've ever lost to.
Why didn't the rematch with Rashad Evans ever happen?
I don't know. I think that's a question that everyone got to ask Dana. I was wondering myself, you know, is it a chance for them to build Machida now? Do I give him some type of recognition if I fight him and he does well against me? But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see why that reason really came about.
All right.
When I beat him and I stop him in two rounds, if I stop him in three rounds, or I stop him in the first round, it just shows that, you know, I'm still forced to be reckoned with no matter what.
All right, Tito, I just want to ask you a couple more non-UFC topics before I let you go. I know you're really busy. Ken Shamrock, a guy you're very familiar with, just had his last, or you know, his most recent fight this past weekend. Did you happen to catch that cage rage bout?
Yeah, actually, I did. I was watching it on Showtime, and you know, it was
what'd you think of
it? It just shows age catching up to him really quick. You know, at 44 years old, age catches up to people really, really quick, and it's too bad for him.
Did you think, you know, there was even some talk, especially online, of him almost throwing the fight, that the last punch that made him go down did not look like a punch that would ever make a guy like Kent Shamrock, you know, end the fight. What was your take on that?
I thought exactly the same thing, too. I mean, I don't think he threw the fight, you know. Maybe he got caught with the punch earlier, and he got caught with the shot, and he kind of gave up, you know. He believed in his mind that he couldn't continue on. You know, that's happened with other fighters before. So, you know, this one may not be any different. But it's too bad, you know. But Ken is 45 years old. He's been around the business for a long time. And, yeah, he's looking to get paid. But at the same time, I've never really seen him ever quit. You know, I gave him an ass whipping for 3 rounds that, you know, I don't think he's ever suffered anything like that before. So I look at it now that, you know, maybe he is done. Maybe he's over fighting and he's just looking to get paid.
And now the company that Ken is associated for the time being is Elite XC. Would you have to consider them right now the front runner if you do leave the UFC as the main number two promotion in the United States?
You know, I see them as a very strong company. Of course, Mark Cuban has another strong company, another company, M1, which is strong. But it seems like all the other companies now are starting to work together. They're starting to help each other, and they're starting to become a strength to be competition against UFC. With me, I just want a company that's gonna support me, that's gonna be behind me, and who's gonna push me, and you know, see me that the ambassador that I am and the champion that I am. You know, just because I lost to Chuck Liddell twice, there's a mixed match that was. You know, sometimes I made a couple mistakes. The match could have gone either way the second time, and I just really see that. You know, I'm still at the top of my game. Whatever company that's gonna sign me, they're going to take care of me. They're going to put me in front. They're going to let me, you know, use my mic skills and, you know, use my fighting skills to its fullest. I mean, I've been a great promoter in myself. Is there a chance of me starting my own organization? Possibly. I just really think that I want to be a lot of organization that's going to care about the fighters and not really care about the brand itself. And that's what it really comes down to.
You know, you hear a lot about Oscar De La Hoya and what he's done in boxing in terms of starting his own promotion and really being the fighter's promoter. And to me, it seems like if you're not going to go out and start your own promotion, he would be a great guy to team up with if he would want to make that foray into the world of MMA. Any discussions with Oscar and Golden Boy, you know, as of today?
Not as of today. Like I say, you know, I've had a lot of companies and a lot of guys want to come and talk to me about it, but I've had to turn away their calls and turn away their emails and say, well, just wait until my fight's over and I'll be able to just talk with you, just because it's contract reasons, you know. I want to be the man of my word and finish my UFC contract and see what happens after.
All right, and you know, we cover the world of pro wrestling too, and you had a short stint in TNA. And I always thought that they sort of dropped the ball with you. Could have done a lot more. Even though you never actually got in the ring, you were used as a special enforcer role for a couple of pay-per-views. What was your experience like working with them?
It was really good. You know, it was first class. Everybody was really, really nice people there. All the guys who did wrestling were guys who I've always looked up to. You know, like Jeff Jarrett and Kevin Nash. I mean, these are the guys that I watched when I was a young kid, so it was really cool to be that part of it. You know, the sports entertainment side was fun, but I never really wanted to just wrestle myself because I've been fighting for, you know, 11 years. So I think I would really make a lot of my fans kind of bummed that I kind of sold out and went to wrestling. But I've always been a huge fan of professional wrestling. You know, I mean, like the names of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan. You know, back in the day when Macho Man Randy Savage, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I mean, I've always been a huge fan. I remember when I was a kid watching that and just laying on the couch and telling my mom, "Mom, one day my name's going to be in big lights just like these guys." And this is kind of funny because as 15 to 20 years go by and look where I am now.
So and would you ever, you know, let's say Vince McMahon comes up to you and offers you a deal, not so much comparable to what Floyd Mayweather is getting, but something to try to get, you know, really step into the world of wrestling. Would you consider that, or is that not really something that's on, you know, your table right now?
I really don't think it's anything on my table right now. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. If he came up with a deal like he did with Floyd Mayweather, I would for sure think about it. But, you know, just the rigorous road work they put into it. You know, they're on the road all the time. They wrestle all the time. You know, they're wrestling 200 days out of the year. I don't think my body can handle that type of pounding. And I'm not a person to use any kind of supplements to, you know, keep my body at 100%. So I've really, I don't know, it would be one of those things that I'd have to sleep on for a few days.
All right, Tito. Well, good luck on May 24th, and hopefully soon we can have some sort of resolution to all the, you know, out-of-cage drama between you and the UFC and, you know, focus on the great things of your career. Very much appreciate you taking the time, and once again, best of luck in a couple of months.
All right, thank you so much, man. And, of course, everybody want to get information on Tito Ortiz, go on the World Wide Web at punishment.com.